Would you bow your heads with me? Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. Some of us need to quit thinking only about ourselves and to quit living only for ourselves. You know, it's stressful to think about what you're doing and what the message of your life is going to be. And I'm not just talking about Facebook and Instagram. I'm talking about the message of your life at your funeral, the message of your life for the generations yet to come. What are you living for? Being really good looking? So that's what they're going to take with them in the future generations? Being really good at this or that? Or pouring yourself out in a way that transcends generations? You know, you and I are part of a relay. Relays are won or lost largely in the handoff. So we are zeroing in this month at what does that handoff look like for us and the people around us, for us and next generations. We're called to hand off nothing less than the message of Jesus. And God shows us what a successful handoff looks like in one of the most beautiful stories of the Bible. I love, you know, there's 66 ancient documents that basically guide our lives, that are the message of Jesus, the message of God for the creation and for our planet. And I love that in the Hebrew Scriptures, two of the 39 books of the Hebrew Scriptures are about women, Esther and Ruth. They're named after women. Think about that. So I want to talk to you a little bit about what we see in the book of Ruth. There's the setting of our scripture this morning. It's during the time of the judges, when Israel was more a bunch of tribes than a nation. They didn't have a king. God would raise up a judge when they went to battle and when things were going wrong. But everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. How's that for a description for 2019? During the time of the judges, when Israel was this bunch of tribes, about 1100 BC, Naomi and her husband Elimelech and two sons move because there's a drought going on in the Bethlehem region where they live in Israel, and they go to the foreign country of Moab. Now, while they're in the region of Moab across from the Dead Sea, Naomi's husband dies. Her two sons grow up, they marry Moabite women, and they also die. Most likely, they're killed. Now, it was a very culturally not correct that their Israelite sons married Moabite women, but they loved these women. And Naomi took them in. Now, so Naomi's left with two daughters-in-law who are Moabite women. And in her great grief, she prepares to go back to her homeland in Bethlehem. She's heard that the drought is over. So we're reading the scripture in the part where her two daughters-in-law come to her and they plead to go with her from Moab back to Bethlehem. Here's what happens in Ruth chapter 1. But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up?" Can you hear a little challenge and even bitterness in her voice in that moment? "Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it's more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Our passage today is an ancient story, a beautiful story of two women, Ruth and Naomi, and a faith handoff. You can read the whole book in about 15 minutes. That could be a really good thing to allow a mom to do if she needs a break. You know, for a couple of years, for Lee's Mother's Day present, I took our four kids to the Children's Museum without her. Just an idea, guys. Tragedy hits Naomi hard. Time after time in this foreign country, she hears that the drought in Bethlehem is over, and so she plans to go back, and she tells her two daughters-in-law to stay with their people. Now, Scripture says in 1 Samuel, you and I see outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart. People see outward appearances, God looks at the heart, and that's what we need to do as we think about handing anything good off to other people. You know, if you're seeing with God's eyes at the heart, you see Naomi's heart. And her words were saying, stay here in Moab, but her heart was saying, come. She genuinely wanted the girls to stay there. She knew it would be a tremendous sacrifice to go with her. But she also knows how good it is when people live for God. Let me say that again. How good it is when people live for God. There are amazing people that do amazing things because God is that good, whether they give a rip about God or not. But when you take people and you introduce them with all their gifts and all their challenges and all that they got to God, how good it is. And how good it is when people live for God. That's why we share Christ. That's why we share Christ. Again, Orpah did what most of us do, the other daughter-in-law. She kissed Naomi and hugged her and told her how much she loved her, but she went back to her home, and that's what most of us do. You know, somebody needs our help, and we offer to help, and we mean it, most of the time. And they say, no, thank you, I don't need it. And we accept that. And they say it graciously, and we both mean it. End of story. But here's where we learn what a successful handoff looks like, which makes Ruth exceptional. Ruth had a passionate heart. Ruth comes through for Naomi. Ruth knew in this situation that go really meant come, that stay really meant go. And she gave one of the most beautiful promises in all the scriptures. And she said, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will be buried. And may the Lord do so to me and more if anything but death parts us. And she does. Go, I mean, Ruth. And it changes everything. And the handoff happens. And what can we learn from Ruth? When it comes to our lives first, in a handoff, a passionate heart sticks by people. You know what people have been through tragedy usually say? They say this, you know what really ministered to me was the woman or the guy that came over and showed up on my doorstep and said, I'm here and I've got 2 hours. And when I said no, they said, I'm coming in. And they mowed my yard. They did my dishes. They sat with me. They held my hand. They read the Bible to me. They just sat and didn't talk at me. It was that person I'll never forget. I don't remember all the names of all the people who said, call me if you need anything. I know they meant it. But I remember the person who stood by me and wouldn't leave me. You know, if you're feeling convicted by this, good, I'm not alone. So hear me. If you're looking for to hand off a message of your life, especially of your life in Christ, to those around you and those coming after you, what's contagious is a passionate heart. A passionate heart that sticks with people, that walks in when the world walks out, that checks in 3 weeks after the funeral, not just in the moment, not just clicking like on a photo on Facebook or a message on Facebook. If you're looking to hand off the message of your life in Christ to those around you, what's contagious is a passionate heart for those people. They're not objects, they're subjects that God died for, that he sent his son for. And Jesus shows us what's contagious above all else in his message is this holiness, this love, this forgiveness, this going with. Jesus came in the flesh. That's what people need. So Ruth knew that you don't just say it, but you do it. My question is, how'd she know that? Who inspired her to do this? And there's an answer in the story. God did. You see, the handoff of faith was already well underway, and it was already happening from Naomi to Ruth. Ruth had lived in Naomi's home for years by now, and Ruth had never known a woman like Naomi. Ruth saw what God was like through her. Ruth heard the stories. Ruth heard of God's promises, the way of life. By now, Ruth had memorized the Shema. That's the Hebrew saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind." And it goes on to say, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Ruth was treated in a way that no Moabite woman had ever been. God honors women to the point of trusting not just the birth of the Savior, but the news of the resurrection to women. But by now, Ruth had experienced something of God's way and the truth of the scriptures. And by now, God was speaking directly to Ruth. Did you catch it? When Ruth said to Naomi, "Your God will be my God," scholars agree that this is a confession. This is a faith confession that Ruth makes, not having grown up with it, not knowing whoever was her own parents. But Ruth is now a believer in the living God. She had crossed the line of faith. Ruth would not say all religions are the same. Let me say that again. Ruth would not say all religions are the same. As a woman in Moab, she worshipped Chemosh, which is the Moabite god where children were sacrificed as burnt offerings. And it goes on today in many forms. How much are we sacrificing our kids for our false pursuits? Ruth had seen both, and Naomi had shown her a better way. All religions aren't the same. Naomi had shown Ruth a better way, the true God of all life. And the lesson here is this: on Mother's Day 2019, if you really want to experience God, quit only paying lip service to God or doing the minimal. Instead, accept this faith for yourself, saying, "Your God will be my God." A passionate heart. Second, look at the handoff when a passionate heart sticks not just with people, but with solutions. When Ruth moved to Bethlehem, she didn't sit around and bemoan her situation. She didn't claim victimhood. She took a solutions-based approach to her healing. And this is legitimate therapy, folks. Solutions-based approach to her healing. She became helpful. In Bethlehem, she went out in the field every day to glean some of the leftover grain. You know, God instructs in the Old Testament, God instructs the farmers to leave some grain for the poor. Ruth was taking care of Naomi, who by now was old and couldn't meet all of her own needs. Women couldn't get jobs during this time. But every day, Ruth worked and cared for Naomi. And here's what happened. The townspeople noticed this woman. And though she was Moabite, she had a passionate heart for God. And they said, "Who among us would do something like this?" And the people weren't the only ones to notice. The man named Boaz, who owned the field, watched Ruth doing this, caring for her mother-in-law day by day. And Boaz fell in love with her. Not her beauty, not her hair, not her makeup or her clothes, because she was working in the fields. What he fell in love with was her heart. So Boaz said to his servants, "Don't harvest quite so much. Why don't you leave a little extra grain out there on accident?" And pretty soon, Ruth began to notice the exceptional character of Boaz, who was generous and was giving. And though he was not as handsome as some or as young as some, she looked into his heart and she said, "This is the kind of man I would love." Well, enter Naomi the matchmaker. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. It's exactly what it was. Naomi said this, "Ruth, here's how we do it in Bethlehem. Women find a man sleeping, and they would come and take off their sandals, and you can read it for yourselves in chapter 3. The handoff happens with a passionate heart that sticks not just to people, but to solutions. Thirdly, a successful handoff creates more blessings. Through her sacrifice and her giving, Ruth, who was blessing Naomi, was a blessing, but Ruth herself ends up blessed. That's the goodness of God. After she was married, Ruth gave birth to a son named Obed, and they laid Obed on Naomi's lap. And Naomi began to rejoice and said this, "I am no longer bitter. My life is full again. This is like my own son, and I will love him and care for him." All because of this love, this witness, this handoff from Naomi to Ruth, and then from Ruth back to Naomi, and from Ruth to the villagers in Bethlehem. All enabling God to bless people in ways they had yet to be blessed as they honored God. What's powerful to me in this also is that not only was there Obed, but Obed had a son who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David, who became king of Israel. So Ruth is the King David's great-grandma. And in her great love of God, don't you know that's partly what showed up in David's life, who was known for his passionate heart for God, as he worshiped God and he wrote so many of the Psalms and he served. A successful handoff creates more blessing. And here's Naomi with the baby on her lap, not her own baby. With this being Mother's Day, I want to share a word for you who are grandmas and aunts, stepmoms, even neighbors. You have a very special role to play in the lives of kids and even adult children that moms just can't. And I pray that God works through you a life of blessing like that. So Naomi rejoiced in the Lord, and her end was better than her beginning. With God, your past does not have to equal your future. And everything you do matters. Everything you do matters in the grocery store, at work, when you're driving. I'll never forget the story of my niece, Jenna, when she was 3. And my mom, Jenna's grandma, was driving her around. And my mom got cut off on Woodward Avenue. And she said, "Oh, you stupid woman." It was 2 weeks later, Jenna said, "Grandma, are you still mad at that lady?" Everything you do matters. In the grocery store, at work, at home, at school, in the office, how about here at church? We're in it for the long haul. When the world walks out, we want to be the ones walking in. And people know what it's supposed to be like, what it looks like, a heart given over to God who's concerned about handoffs and blessings. You know, Ruth shows us one other thing, and it's this, how God works. Because how God works is very often through the passionate hearts of people. And I'm not denying any kind of supernatural workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Most of us pray, and we ask God to fix things. Sometimes we even get on. Does anybody ever still pray on their knees? That's awesome. We get on our knees. Mine are killing because I did gardening all day yesterday. I don't know why Lee ordered mulch from the girls' field hockey team. It was a sympathy buy, and that was her Mother's Day present. Don't tell her that. And we're like, "God, fix this thing. God, fix this thing. Only you can fix this thing." You know, that was my prayer for my son Hunter. As Jeremy was leading the youth ministry, I was praying for a man to come alongside and be a mentor for him. This was in 2011. And I was like, Lord, there had been many men who had poured into his life, but a lot of them got busy or had other kids of their own and didn't have the bandwidth to be able to be there, like leading a weekly discipling group for now high school seniors. And so I was like, God, provide somebody for Hunter. God, provide somebody to Hunter. Well, and then I went to SOS in Memphis. Awesome trip if you ever get the chance. Get your kids there. God, provide somebody to Hunter. And the four guys who were at SOS, which didn't include Hunter, said, this is so awesome. We've got to keep this going when we get back to Dexter. And I was like, are you serious? It was Trevor Herman Hilker who said that. And I said, this could happen. And all of a sudden, it was like God said, I'm answering your prayer, and you're it. That's how God works. We ask God to fix things, and when he doesn't, we get hurt and mad and frustrated, and we cut ourselves off from God. Listen, God's not Aladdin. Instead, God loves to work through people, people with a passionate heart, willing to do something. And that decision at SOS changed my life the last 7 years. Jesus shows us this too. He says things like this, you give them something to eat. When they're like, Master, his disciples are saying, there's so many people here and they're all hungry. And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. He describes in the judgment of the nations, and he calls the people to him and says, you ministered to me, you fed me, I was hungry and you clothed me, I was naked and you clothed me, I was hungry and you fed me, I was sick and you visited me. And they're like, when? And he said, anytime you did it for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Do you see? We're it. Jesus shows us more often than not, we're it. We're the answer to our own prayer. That's what he was saying. Like we're praying, God send revival. And he said, I did. It's you. God send peace into this situation. I did. That's you. God, send joy. That's you. Send love. That's you. God, we need a breakthrough financially. Yes, I want you to give. If we took responsibility for the things that we pray for, you are the answer more often than not. Will you love in the face of hate? Will you give when everyone else takes? Will you unite when everyone else divides? Will you build up when everybody else complains? Will you bring peace when everybody else is bringing chaos? You are the answer to our own prayer. How about you? What are you praying for God? And don't you think, just maybe, as unbelievable as it sounds, God's got you praying for that. So you'll see the problem, you'll see the solution, you'll see the compassion needed, and you'll be able to bring it in God's strength. So what do you say to God? Okay, God, if you need me, call me. And we mean it, but then we go our own way. Sort of like Orpah, who experienced a life of faith, who experienced a household of faith, who was so close, but then went back to her old culture and her old disgusting Moabite gods. Is that us? When God says, I've got uncharted territory, there's somebody going with you, would you go with me and stick with them? It's Mother's Day 2019. What a great day to hand over my life, to be done with the Moabite gods, the idols, whatever it is. I don't want any of us to be this close and to miss it. But we do, don't we? We go back to our gods, our old habits, our old ways, those handoffs, those offensive things that Jesus says, like he's calling us to. If anyone wishes to follow me, let that one deny themselves, take up your cross, and follow me. That's offensive. Deny myself, take up your cross. That means basically die to myself, which is how he says it in other verses. But that's what we do. That's what Christ followers do. That's what moms who get it do, to live in such a way so that even if somebody's living with difficulties, what we're saying is we're not going anywhere. I'm not going to let you go it alone or let you down. We're going to live for Christ and walk together. And I know some of you face some difficult situations with in-laws, with outlaws, with difficult people. And you're praying, God, change them, change their heart. And maybe God's saying, I don't change hearts, but I can change your heart if you're willing. And the one who's helping is doubly blessed. Imagine what this church would be like, what our families would be like, what our world would be like if we had more sticky people sticking with people with passionate hearts. Imagine the handoffs of faith if this world saw us as a place for solutions, a people of blessings, so that we can say, and they might even say in return, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Let's practice our handoffs from this moment on. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the tenacity of Ruth, for the witness of Naomi. We thank you, God, for how you were able to pour your blessing through the generations to the whole nation of Israel through Ruth. But God, mostly right now, we thank you for the people in our lives who have stuck with us. But God, we pray that we would stick with you and not go back to our old gods. Lord, I think there's some people who may have been on fire for you at one time and are no longer. And they're heading back in some foreign country when you're saying, I'm right here, please come home. God, thank you that we don't go it alone, but with passionate hearts we go for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.